Today, we have two church members who came to in-person worship for the first time. Carmen Huckabee. Good to see you, Carmen. And Turner, right? It is your first time to come to in-person worship, and you're going to read the scripture. Come on, Donna.
John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all may believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Great job.
Moments ago, we lit the two purple candles for the past 2 weeks of Advent. The purple candle symbolizes the King Jesus and also fasting and repentance. Today, the third candle, the third Sunday of Advent, we lit a pink candle. The pink candle symbolizes joy, right? If we believe in Jesus Christ, there is a reason to live a joyful life in any situation, good or bad. May God bless us so that our hearts are filled with joy, anticipating the Lord's coming to us in Advent season, even in the midst of the pandemic. Amen. Today's lectionary scripture, John chapter 1, verse 6 to 8 and verse 19 to 28, is focused on meditating about who John the Baptist is, the one sent by God to prepare for the way of the Messiah. Please, don't be confused between John the Baptist and John, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as well as the book of Revelation. Let's briefly summarize who John the Baptist is through the Gospels. Like Jesus' miraculous conceiving story, John was also conceived in a miraculous way. Do you know that the angel Gabriel, who appeared to Mary to announce the birth of Jesus, first appeared to the priest Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, to announce John's conception, and John's mother, Elizabeth, was related to Mary, Jesus' mother, and became pregnant with John 6 months before Mary became pregnant with Jesus. John and Jesus were surely well acquainted and must have played together while they were growing up during their childhood. So we can imagine that as they grew spiritually, they would have shared their dreams of the kingdom of God that the Messiah will bring into the world. We also know that John was raised in the wilderness and was called by God in the wilderness. And according to Josephus, who was a famous Jewish historian in the first century, John was most likely imprisoned and died in the wilderness at Macarius. As we reflected last Sunday, John's major mission was to prepare the way of the Messiah. He did this by preaching in the wilderness, where he attracted great crowds, including Pharisees and Sadducees, by calling people to repentance, by baptizing, and by heralding the one who was to come. Before we dig into today's scripture, let's first look at John chapter 1, verse 1. That is the great proposition and main theme of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and Word was God. The word used here is called logos in Greek and uses the capital letter W to distinguish it from other words. The word is eternal, present with God the Father from the beginning, participating fully in every step of creation. And God sent this word into the world as God's ultimate revelation of himself. So John says in verse 14, the word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This means that it is Jesus Christ who came to this earth through the incarnation of the Word, which is God himself. The Christmas story is all about Emmanuel, God with us. If we want to know God, we can see him in the face of Jesus. If we want to know how God would have us live, we need to only read the gospel where Jesus teaches us about how to live as children of the kingdom of God. If we want to know something of God's grace, we need only look at the cross where Jesus was died. If we want assurance of our future, we need only look at Jesus' empty tomb. Our Lord is alive. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at today's passage in verses 6 to 8. I will read again. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The writer of the Gospel of John simply says that simply says that John the Baptist was sent as a witness to testify to the light. Who then is the light? John chapter 9, verse 5 says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light, and John was sent to do his mission to point Jesus Christ as the light, the Messiah. Notice that John repeated the same phrase twice in verse 7 and 8. He came to testify to the light. The reason for this repeated emphasis on John's subordinate status is quite simple. John the Baptist was very famous, even late in the first century when the Gospel of John was written. One of the purposes of the Gospel of John is to make it clear what John the Baptist is not. He is not the light, not the Messiah, not the prophet, not worthy to untie the strap of the Messiah's sandal, as he confessed in the passage. John is present only to serve as a witness to Jesus. The rest of the today's story in verses 19 and 28 shows how John the Baptist received a lot of attention by religious leaders at the time, and how he was consistently aware of his position and his mission. John the Baptist was a great man because he knew his boundaries as a supporting role very well. Jesus admitted this fact in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. This attitude of John the Baptist is a model for those of us who proclaim the good news of Christ today. Our purpose is not to draw attention to ourselves, but to point to the risen Christ. We have to admire John's courage, and he speaks always boldly, even though his boldness may put him in danger to his death. God calls us to witness to Christ by word and by our deed. In good times and bad, when it suits us and when it doesn't, when it is dangerous and when it isn't. Ironically, The witness of the church has often been more faithful during the times of persecution and difficult situation than during the time of prosperity. Beloved, even if our present situation is dark and uncertain, let us sing a song of hope as we wait for the coming of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. No matter how extreme the situation, if you don't let go of the hope for tomorrow, you can surely stand up. Therefore, never give up on yourself. There is a famous anecdote about Alexander the Great. One day, before he went to a war, he opened a treasure trove and distributed everything to his generals. One of the generals asked, "What will you have for yourself if you give away all these treasures?" Alexander the Great answered, "I still left the most important thing. That is hope. That is hope. I have a great hope that the world divided from East and West will become one through my dreams and visions. And for this hope, I can use all these treasures." For him, the hope was greater than treasures. He was ready to pay the price for this hope and eventually united the whole world to build the Greek Empire. Dear congregants, we know that Christmas is almost around the corner, and the year 2020 will pass in no time. Now, as we are eagerly waiting for the Lord's coming, we must hear and respond to God's word to witness the gospel boldly, like John the Baptist. God called you and I not only to save us, but also to boldly preach the good news to those around us who do not believe in Jesus Christ. If so, to whom should you go and preach the gospel in this Christmas season? Although we have to keep a distance for the safety of others and ours as well, that doesn't mean that we can't reach out to those who desperately need to hear the good news in this challenging time. At this moment, I pray that we can hear the voice of God heard by the prophet Isaiah. "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I hope that we will be able to answer what the prophet Isaiah responded to God. If you know, everybody confess together, "Here am I, send me, Lord." Amen. Amen. Now let us rise to sing